Good morning, everyone. Baruch Hashem, we're standing here. Yisrichag Shvius, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Nosoi. So we'll have a dual duty to do. We'll have to be able to take with us what we can be set to the Shemar for the Yom Tov, and a kind of minig of Torah Erev Shabbos to talk about the Parsha, Parshas Nosoi. Just to begin with the shtickle and milta the b'dichsa, a mass with the Sat Meruv. There was two Yidden that came to the Rebbe for the interior. They had an issue about some money, which they didn't know who it belonged to. Took a lot of money. So they came together to the interior, to the Sat Meruv, and each one had their tanners to explain why the money belongs to them. So the Rebbe said, give me some time. He looked into the Sigya, wants to come back to them to say who he decides the money should belong to. And afterwards they reflected and they thought about it, that the Rebbe is very, very busy. He's going to spend time working out their personal issue. They've got a brilliant idea which will make everyone happy. They're both wealthy people, and they're happy to give the money to the Rebbe's moisters. The Rebbe needed to collect a lot of money. So they told the Rebbe as follows, we'll give the money. The Rebbe can keep this money that we're handling about. And whoever's it really belongs to Klape Shemaya, he'll have the schis, so the mitzvah stoker will belong to that person. So like this, the Rebbe will have the money, they'll both be happy and fine. Okay. The problem was that as the time went on, each one kept reminding the Rebbe that, you know, I gave you a lot of money for the Rebbe's moistus. It's a man's schis. The Rebbe's old day, and, you know, the Rebbe should see that I gave you a lot of money. And the other fellow reminded the Rebbe as well that really was his money that he gave. So they weren't really getting anywhere. This squabble is still continuing who really the money belonged to. So the Sat Meruv, with his sense of geschmack, put it like that, he told him as follows. He said, I've got a very simple way. We're going to work out who's got really the schis. Chazal tell us that mitzvah grows to mitzvah. One mitzvah causes another mitzvah. So we're going to see who's going to give the next money for matzlukas that I'm collecting for. And then we'll know he had the schis of the first one, so that obviously triggered the one for the next one. So when we come to a Yom Tov and we realize, after 7 weeks of preparing ourselves for Matan Torah, we come to our Yom Tov, we shouldn't be surprised if we're going to be now in the mitzvah, gerest mitzvah mode of continuing. And that's really the time of Yisrichag, to be able to reflect on what we to achieve and to take it with us to continue. But there is, actually reminds me of a different story with the Sfasemus. There was a din Torah between two people, and they decided to go to Sfasemus to ask him to decide. As they came into the room and they saw his Amelis Batoya, how he was horrifying on the Sugya, they didn't have the guts to be able to disturb his learning, to be able to say their tanas, ask him to decide. They decided it's easier just to be moichel. They could see when a person is dovek and tell you to that extent, it has an effect on others as well. There's a very inspirational mushel. I think I've said it some years before here in Teruway, so I'll say only bekitza, but every year I get myself chizik from this mushel. It's a very interesting mushel. So I'll tell you what you can take away for the Yom Tov. There was two brothers, a rich brother and a younger, a poor brother. And the older brother wanted to spoil his brother for his birthday, to buy him a birthday present. He was thinking to himself, what could he buy him? Something nice, something that he needs. So he realized he's driving this old car that he'd say, the last 20 years. He's going to spoil him with a brand new car. So he thinks to himself, what, buy a new car for him? He's going to be embarrassed to drive it, and he's not used to it. And he won't accept it from me. So he had to get him into it without him realizing what he's giving him. So he took photographs of his brother's old car, and he calls up this car dealer and he says, I want a brand new car looking as similar as possible to this old one, and he should scratch and dent the outside exactly to copy the one that he's been driving until now. He gets his nephew involved, and he has to get his help to swap the keys, gets the car delivered, 3 o'clock in the morning, they swap the cars, everything's working out fine, but he wants to enjoy the geschmack of the first journey, his surprise in his face. So with all innocence, he finds out where he's going the next morning, and he asks him, are you going by any chance to Liverpool tomorrow? He says, yes. He says, could I have a lift, please? He says, fine, with pleasure, be in my house, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Okay. as he puts the phone down, he realizes, yo, my brother's used to driving a car. That starts straight away. This weather, freezing weather, middle of winter, it's going to take 10, 15 minutes to get the engine going. Okay. Akapura, too bad, next morning. The older brother, the Baal, he's there on time. And he says, do you mind just go inside, make yourself a drink, we'll be ready soon. He's trying to save time to get the car going. So he says, come on, we haven't got time to waste, let's get moving. Okay, he's going to start fighting with him. He says a Shiamalas under his breath, gets into the car, and hey presto, he can't understand what's going on, it starts straight away. Okay, Baruch Hashem, he puts in the navigation system, the postcode, estimated time of arrival, he says add another 10-15 minutes to it. He says, why? He says, because this car doesn't drive the way regular cars do. He says, don't be such a pessimist, come, let's get moving already. Okay, after a few minutes to get into the motorway, he stays on the left lane, he's driving 50-60 miles an hour, holding the steering wheel, says, what's going on? It's dangerous to drive so slow in the motorway. He says, get in the middle lane, 70 miles an hour is legal, come on. He says, this car, 20 years I've been driving it, it's dangerous. If I drive too fast, it's going to crumble. He says, don't be so worried, on my Christ, get in the middle lane and we'll start moving. Anyway, he's terrified, he's built up speed. Baruch Hashem, everything's worked, it's fine. After some minutes, he sees a signpost, there's a service station coming in a mile or two. And he starts moving over to the left lane. What's going on now? He says, I just scraped past the MOT and they warned me 20 minutes on a motorway. Give your engine a rest. It's going to start causing issues. He says, come on. Anyway, they have a whole discussion until eventually he tells it Mazel Tov and he doesn't know what he's talking about. He says, he's sitting in a new car. He says, there can't be. There's a packet of sour sticks on the front seat still from yesterday. So he says, I'll tell you what we did. And he told him the whole story and they made it look exactly the same. And then he told him, listen, it's everything as we understand now. Things start straight away. We can move the right speed. We don't have to stop the whole time. And this is such a powerful way to look at ourselves now after Yom Tov. If we through Kabbalah Satoira, we're all sitting in a new car. And we think to ourselves, yeah, we look the same from the outside. We tackle look the same from the outside. But till we start learning, till we think how much we can learn, how often we have to stop for, these are all a completely different attitudes, but we just have to give ourselves a test drive and realize that we've got unbelievable koiches, much more than we begin to imagine. You think to yourselves, since last year Shvius, how much Torah is eicher to learn. And here and there, sometimes during the year, cropped up a new chavrisa, started a new dirish and mishnah. Every person thinks of the last year, what's been going on, and they realize in the coming year, we start to shemaya, will we also be zeicher to tremendous hasloch and siyata shemaya to take with us the mitzvah, greatest mitzvah, all the hearts of the yom tov of Shvius. Now, the thinking about Parshas Nosei and the yom tov. So first, you know, when you have to start speaking, you think of. Things on the parasha. Satad Shema has a very interesting pshat. If there's another pshat, I'm happy to hear. There's a mitzvah this week, which sounds very Yom Kippurdik. The mitzvah in the Torah of Vidi, of saying Vidi, Chotosi of Yisra Pshat. The mitzvah of Vidi is in this week in Parashas Nosei, by Gezel Ageh. By Gezel Ageh, someone steals from a Geh, and he's got no Krovim. So what does he have to do? Yes, the Torah says a big chiddush. He should give it to the koinim of that week's mishmah. That's what he has to give it to. The question is, Ma'in Nishmet Eitzel HaSinai, we're discussing over here, Gez Lageh. How does the mitzvah of Vidi come in over here? This is where the Torah tells you about it. It's true, he did something wrong. He has to be misvada. But why of all places the Torah choose to teach this mitzvah over here? So I was thinking, it's a big chizik that sometimes a person can think to himself, that Taka, he wants to turn over a new page, he wants to start from fresh, and he wants to do Tshiva, he wants to do Vidi. But he thinks it's impossible. Things are stopping him. He can't. He's tried before, it won't work. And very quickly, the Yitzhar can discourage a person from actually bringing out his good Ritzoinus, to bring it in the Day Master, to become the Mitzvah of Tshiva. So, the Torah tells us something over here as follows. This person, He stole £100 from someone. He wants to pay him back. He wants to pay him back. And not forgetting, you actually have to give the person back. You have to ask him a mechila. Misha says, you can't have a mechila by Benom Lechaveroi unless the person's meichel you. So he's got £100. He realizes that's something wrong. He wants to give it back. Fine. So he calls up this fellow. And he calls up this guest, Sheila Kraven. And the phone keeps on ringing. He calls the next day, keeps on ringing. Eventually he discovers that Nebuchadnezzar, a week before he was Nifta, and he thinks to himself, "Oy gewalt, why do I wake up so late? Finish, I'm doomed, I'm never going to be able to have a kapora for what I've done." So he doesn't know what to do. All of a sudden, he learns Parshas Nosei, and he discovers that there's an amazing thing going on over here. Yitaka rides, Yitaka stole from a gear, Yitaka doesn't have any krovim, you can't go. The Torah says, you know what? Give it to the kohenim of that week's mishma, and you're going to have a kapora through that. So the Torah has created a new way to be able to correct what you've done wrong, even if in your eyes it seems impossible, and it seems that there's no solution. A person does whatever he can. A person does vidi. A person wants to do what's right. Even though this gear has got no krovim, the Torah tells us there's still a way. And this gives us inspiration for any matzah that we're in. We should never be blocked by the fact that it seems that there's no solution. The Rebbeinu Shlom can always sometimes help a person, even according to his eyes, he doesn't see there's any way. There was a story once when there was about Shiva, that he was a kohen, and he realized that he's married to a kohen, to a bas kohen, and he didn't know what to do. He really wanted to be covered, he can't turn mitzvahs properly, and he realized, the Torah says, a kohen can't live with a grisha, and he didn't know what to do, so someone told him he should go to Rebbe Yashiv. He said, "What's going to help to go to Rebbe Yashiv?" He says, "Gedolei Yisrael got siyata l'shmaya, that maybe I'll give you some advice." So he came to Rebbe Yashiv, and he's crying away. He told him he's stuck, it's nothing to do. So Rebbe Yashiv told him, "Go to the coastal and daven, the siyata l'shmaya is going to be okay." Okay, you think again, like, oh, it doesn't make any sense. But again, he has to do his bit, he's going to do his bit. He comes to the coastal, and he's davening there, he's crying away, and he sees him, and comes over to him, and he asks him, "Shalom Aleichem, where are you, where are you from?" And he pours his heart out, he tells him what the issue is. So he asks him, "Yeah, what's your name?" He says, "Ah, yeah, your father lives in Los Angeles." He says, "Yeah, yeah." He says, "Go and visit your father, he's not very well, maybe you should go and visit him." Okay, again, one mystery leads to another. Eventually he comes to his father, and then his father told him that, "You should know, I'm not really your father, I adopted you, and I'll tell you who your real parents are. I'm being nifta now, and I'm going to tell you the truth." And he discovered that he wasn't even really a kohen. So sometimes, in the most impossible situations, the Rebbeinu has got ways of giving people information and helping them to be able to come to where they need to. So therefore, when it comes to the mitzvah of the person wants to do what's right, the Torah tells us, guess like it, give it to the kohen of that week, it's going to work. How it works, the Rebbeinu Shalom knows. But the Meisah, that gives us the gewaldige chizik. So, on the other hand though, so we see this by yesterday when we were learning Megillas Ris, we see the same thing over there. Boaz wanted to do Yibam with Ris, and there was a Ploini Amodi, there was a Goyal first, and they had to get hold of him, and they couldn't get hold of him. So Chazal say that just then he came past. Chazal tell us that even though he came from the other end of the world, but Boaz did his bit, Ris did his bit, the worship said everyone does their bit, I'm going to be able to fill in the missing piece of the puzzle to make sure we'll be able to get to where you need to. However, on the other hand, a person always has to know, has he really done the maximum that he can, that he can use this extra siyata d'shmaya to rely on? So there's a sefer nevrit and translated in English called the Talich from Arla. There's even comics on him, Arla. What's his surname? I forgot my surname. He had, as a child, he had very, very difficult diseases. His mother went to the Bell's Roof, got a brucha, and he managed to get out of his issues bit by bit. Unbelievable. Today he goes around the world, as long as I live, the book's called, as long as I live. He's called Rabbi Ari Margalit, a famous person. He's written books and he's inspired tens of thousands of Yidden. After this book came out, many people got chizik from it, and in the most impossible circumstances, he managed to fight with his machla and be able to get to where he got to, and he brought out another two volumes, Be'ikvot et Aleich. That means the impact of the book that he brought out. And basically, the theme, the message is, in every situation a person's in, even though he's got thousands of other people to blame, a thousand other people that he can say it happened because of them, you've always got your bit that you can do, and then afterwards, this siyata d'shmaya, you get to where you want to get to. So just one story out of that book, he says, he was on a flight, it was a charter flight, from Yisrael to Lezhensk, the Rebbe Meirich Zutzat, and it was a very heimish flight, it's not really a flight that goes the whole year, just a charter flight, So as they came back onto the flight afterwards, they discovered that it had been overbooked. So you had everyone sitting, the whole plane was full, and there was a fellow by the door trying to get on the plane, and he had the ticket, and they needed to work out which one of the passengers had got on this flight instead of going on a different flight. So it was checkmate, because everyone was sitting down, the pilot wanted to go, and there was no room, and there's a fellow here that had to get back before Shabbos Eretz Yisrael. It was a Thursday night flight, what to do? So this Yid, he was on his flight, this Rebbe Aaron was on his flight, and all of a sudden, he hears some fellow comes to the mic, and he says, Rabbosai, we're going to have no choice, we're going to have to go through row after row, and we're going to have to see who's got the wrong ticket. And he's sitting on his seat, he couldn't, he had meetings with people that was waiting for, and everyone was screaming their nephews about mitzvah, and this oifri from this simcha, that simcha, everyone had to be on this flight, and all was willing to get off. And he's thinking to himself, what should he do? So on the one hand, he's not to blame. He had a legitimate reason to be here. He had a ticket. He had a seat. What should he do? On the other hand, he's got to watch now someone be embarrassed. Maybe someone got on the flight without realizing. Or maybe they were even amazed. But whatever, they're now there. It might even be a choshev person. He thought, you know what? I've got to catch this flight. I've got something to do in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't dream he's going to be so booked. How can he afford to let another Eid be publicly embarrassed? On the other hand, what should he do? He couldn't get off. So he works with this theory that even if it's not your fault, even if you think there's nothing to do, there's always something in every situation that you can move things one tiny bit. It happens even sometimes in a traffic jam. There's cars coming both ways. There's cadence around, whoever they are. There's difficulties on the road. And you think to yourself, the other guy's fault could be. But if you move literally 2 centimeters, lots of times things can start moving. His attitude is always, what can I do in this situation? So he thinks out of the box and he says, he's got a good idea. He comes to the front of the plane and he says, can I have please the mic? So they say, Rebbe Aaron, it's not the time for drushes now. The pilot's warned us, we've got 2 minutes, if not we're going to miss our slot to take off. What exactly are you going to do? He says, just leave it to me. So he tells the Olam, he says, under no circumstances can we allow this to happen. That's number one. We cannot allow Ayid over here. It could be he's a shogig, could be he's amazed, no difference. We cannot allow Ayid to be embarrassed by Rabbi. I'm willing, I've got over here $2,000, I'm willing to give there's someone else after it was even less, I think it was $500. $500 I've got over here, and I'm willing to give this to any person that gets up now and takes the flight after Shabbos. It doesn't make a difference if he's the right person or he's not the right person, I'm willing to give it. Someone should stand up and take this offer. So there was a book on the flight, and he thinks to himself, he can manage to come after Shabbos. He comes to the front. He gives him the cash on the spot, he gives him the money, he says the grace of Shkoich, the other person comes and sits down, and they take off. Anyway, eventually things calm down, and then during the flight, someone comes over to him and says to him that he wants to buy the schis, oh, that's where the 2,000 came from, he wants to buy the schis of what he just did for $2,000. And he says, certain things are not for sale. And the message is so powerful. Many times in situations we say, oh, guess like it. No, there's no craving. I've done what I can. Hashem should sort out the rest for me. Could be. But sometimes there's that one little bit that a person can think, it looks like it's checkmate. But what can I do in this situation? And he thought out of the box. And he has to have the Shmai to do something. Kesev Yannis Akoil. He got a method that to encourage someone without embarrassing anyone. And the issue was solved. So when we work with this on the two ends, on the one hand, we realize what we could do, we need to do. On the other hand, whatever we can't do, we should know that we're going to help us to get to where we need to. That combination is going to help us in various situations to be able to get to where we need to. Now, discussing what we were zeichet yesterday, the Mamad HaSinai, the Matan Torah, we find the very, very sharp words in the Torah, which if you would hear them from even a regular person, you would take notice. If someone will tell you that I'm warning you, and I warn you very, very much. So you can think, well, what's the person going to tell me? And these words we find regarding, in Parashat Veschan, regarding Matan Torah, Raki Shom Elecho, Ishmoi Nafshecha Ma'oid. What's going on? What do I need to do? And the Torah says, Don't forget Mamet HaSinai. That's the end of this pasuk. Pen tishkach es advar mashur yinecha. In case you're going to forget what you saw. If any assume of avka kodim yichayecha. In case you're going to forget. Not only that, make sure to tell your children a mitzvah deraisa. Vidat tu levanecha, velevanei vanecha. What should you tell them? Yoyim Hashem matan lefnei Hashem v'nekecha v'chayim. Remember the day that you buy matan Torah and you had Kabbalah sa Torah. Asher yilmud leyiri oistikal hayomim. And the Torah is talking to each individual. The Torah tells us, "V'loshenoychach sharoi necho." Hashem Hashem adatoh. This taka was said to the generation of Kabbalah Satorah, but in every day afterwards as well. And we find also in Parashas Yisrael, "Daba atav v'nishmo v'ali daba kim ben." Was Klal Yisrael was scared. At the end of Mishpat, Klal Yisrael was scared that they should hear the whole series of Dibros on Aibishta. So what did Moshe respond to them? Al tiroi, don't worry. Ki lavi nasis eschem boalikim. The Bereshim came, the nasis eschem. The vav nasis eschem. What's the translation of the word nasis eschem? So the Ramban explains that nasis is a lotion of regilis. The Ramban says, targileim hergalchem beminosai. The Bereshim got you used to as a mina boalikim. Why? Because he was showed clearly so the Gilashkina. That emina went very deep into our hearts to be able to be connected to the Ibishtar. That's how the Rabban learns the words the Vavanasis Eschem. So this, we realize what we've been through, we realize what car we're sitting in, we've now been injected to so much emina that itself gives us power to be able to go through various situations. But Rashi learns the Loshon Nasis is the Loshon of Parshas Nosoi, the same as this week. To be Meroimim, to exalt us. Legadin Eschem Be'olam, Rashi says, Sheyetze Lechem Sheim Be'imus, Shebechvoidoi Nigla Aleichem. All the nations of the world will recognize and know that the creator of the world, there was a mass revelation, the Irish that came to Klal Yisrael and appeared to them. The Loshon Rashi says of Nasis is the Loshon of Haroma Gdila, of being great. So when we come to Parashat Nosoi, we realize that the Torah doesn't say count, Loshon, Tesaper es b'nei Yisrael, Tispo es b'nei Yisrael. We don't find that expression of count, Klal Yisrael, Loshon, Tispo. We found the Loshon of Nosoi. Nosoi means to lift up. That means every person, Chazal tell us, Dova Shebeminyan, in a bottle. That means if something's counted, someone wants about half a dozen of eggs, just because they've got a number, that gives already the chashivas, that you have a tray for egg mixing other eggs, the fact that it's counted, that gives already the chashivas. So, when we're coming from Ezayah Yontif and Shvias, and we see how the Eibush is not says Rosh Bnei Yisrael, the Eibush tells us, we want to be able to count every single person of Klal Yisrael, that gives us the Chashivas, and that gives us appreciation, how chush we are in His eyes, and it's a beautiful continuation from what we've just been through of Matan Torah. But I was thinking that there's a mission that we say every day, that we have five inspirations that we can take from the Yom Tov Shvius, which is a mission we say every day, that are all very clearly connected with the Yom Tov. And it's not even a mission, it's a part of a Mishnah. We say every day straight after Birkas HaTorah, Eile Devorim She'elem Shia, HaPeya, V'HaBikirim, V'Re'oyen, Gimenez Chasodim V'Salam HaTorah. Those five things are directly connected to the Yom Tov of Shvius. How? Number one, the Mitzvah of Peya. What's the Mitzvah of Peya? As the Chinuch tells us, the Mitzvah Reish Tezayin, Mishor Shah Mitzvah, that the Rebbein Hashem shows Klal Yisrael, and he wants that we should have an Ayin Toiva for other people. What happens is, the person harvests his field right till the very end, and he's not thinking about anyone else. So that's the Ayin Ra. He's not thinking about anyone else. There's never people out there that can't afford to be able to have what to eat, and you've got a whole field that you're cutting down, leave one corner for them. And the Rebbein Hashem wants to give us this good middus. So therefore the Torah tells us, Taka, leave this corner. So this thinking about other people, this Benom Nachaveri, this Derech Eretz, Kodman HaTorah, that's the number Aleph to be able to come to be Kabbalah HaTorah. Chazal tells us the Chashivas of a Lev Toiv. That's included everything. A person has a Lev Toiv, it's included in the Ein Toiv and all the other middus that go with it. And Chazal tell us, and therefore a person gives to others, that's the best way to be able to have for himself as well. So that's the Indian of Peah. Afterwards we have the Indian of Bikirim. We know the Torah itself calls the Yom Tov of Yom HaBikirim. That's the Yom Tov. What's the shaykhis between Yom HaBikirim and Matan Torah? So we know that Chazal tell us that Torah, Gemilas Torah, that's later going to be the Inner Bikirim, is that a person has Akoros HaToiv. Akoros HaToiv, a person appreciates the Toiv of the Rebbein Shleilim. And that injects a person with Simcha. He appreciates what he's got, doesn't take it for granted, and he understands that everything that he's got, but Emes is the Matona for the Aibishta, then that will have. That would have an influence on a person, on his whole attitude. But there's a tivra pshat as well. There's a tivra pshat as well. What the shaykhs of the Inna Bikirim with the Yom Tov of Matan Torah. You find Rav Shimon Pinkas in his Sefer Shabbos Malkus explains why were the Levim the ones chosen in the Beis HaMikdash to say the Shiras, to sing. So he explains as follows. He says that when a person gives someone else something to look after, so he gives him a bikkurim to look after. So afterwards it comes the time to give it back. So he's going to ask him, can I have it back? So either he's going to agree, he's going to say, fine, I've got your stuff, you want it back now, you want it back later, he's going to acknowledge that he's got someone else's things by him. Or, if he denies it, then that's to stop reshepping him to Bez, then that's to force it out of him, and it's not very gishmak. So when the Abishah gives Tovus to us, he says there's two ways. Either person lives with the attitude of Akoros HaToiv, and he acknowledges that all the chesed that he's got, all the kindness that he's got, is like a pikkud in his hands from Hashem, so then he can stay by him, it's safe to stay there. Or Chas HaShon, if not, then a person has to come along to Isirim, and then all of a sudden Hashem takes it away from him, and he realizes what he doesn't have. So therefore he says the Levim, the Kodim HaMidas HaChesed, the Levim HaMidas HaDin, they were the ones that said Shira. Because in order to be able to counterbalance the Midas HaDin, not to need the Midas HaDin, the Chochmah is to sing to the Aibishter. So if you have that Rina, you have that Shira to Hashem, so then you can keep with the Chasodim, and you don't need to come onto them to be able to come to the realization that what you've got is from the Aibishter. So what should you do? You can keep all and just thank Hashem. So therefore the Beis HaMikdash was the place where there was a bracha coming down, so they had to have a Levim at the same time when the Shefa was coming to sing to the Aibishta to be able to have the Avodas HaLevim. And this is the Indian as well. Whenever a person learns, as from Teretz HaShivas, before a person learns Torah, he should be mispoilen about L'Rosha and Omen Akim, Malach Olasah Pechikoi, the Ketzois HaChoshim, before he gave Shia, they used to see how he used to prepare himself and do tshiva before he started learning, because he's going to learn the Aibishah's Torah. He acknowledged the Gevaldige Chesed that Hashem gave us the Torah. So that is a connection as well between the Inim HaKoros, the Tovah Torah, is also one of the ways of the Yema Bikirim. The third thing is Vahari Oyen, the mitzvah on the Beis HaMikdash, to come to appear before Hashem. And this is what we saw. This year Shemaim, we saw by Matan Torah, Rashi tells Bashi Veschanon, Ata Reis Radas, Ki Hashem Elikim Einem Levadoi. All the seven heavens were opened up, there was a clarity to see Hashem Echad, and the Yom Tov of Shvius, the Torah tells us, Ve'emes Keneged Yitzchok Avini, the Inyan from Yira, the Ve'hara Oyen, the Mitzvah of Yiroa Kol Zechircha, the Shvius Hashem Neged Yisomid, the Da'al Efnei Me'ata Omel, like the Mishnah says in Ovis, that is also a very important element regarding the Kabbalah Satayah. And the fourth one is the Gemilas Chasodim, Chazal Teles, a Medrash, in Keheles, Pasha Zayin, Omer Rav Levi, Torah Techilosei, Vesoifo Gemilas Chasodim. It's one of the reasons why we're lying against this on Shvius, the Indian of Chesed. Gemilas Chasodim is what is very important when it comes to learning Torah. Also when a person learns B'chavisa, and there's many elements of Gemilas Chasodim there as well. Even just you hear something nice to someone, you compliment him. The Rama writes clearly in Hilchos Deos, which they say it doesn't only mean to tell other people good about other people. Tell the person himself, and you compliment him, and you give him feedback, and you acknowledge his svara, the way he's learning, what he's doing. The Gemara Chasodim can generate more Torah itself. And the last one is Taka Talmud Torah Keneged Kilam. And when we understand, we're talking about Eilam She'Eilam Shia, which means on both way rounds. The Gaon tells us, the Shnei Selyoi, that every single word of Torah is a separate mitzvah. Chofetz Chaim tells us that a person can say 200 words a minute. You say the Mishnah, Eilat Dvorah Be'erach, 50 words. I'm calling this Ashkenaz, 50 words. You say it four times in a minute. 200 words, times that by Tariyak, 630 mitzvahs for each word of Torah, is Eidon She'elim Shia, are all these five things. And a person takes this with us, every word of Torah is a separate mitzvah in itself, and we want to know, what could we do, We live with this. It's a 2 minute sfeh. We hop around. We learn something. We listen to a shia. There's so many things available. This $80 she'enim shia helps us to take us with as all these five things. The payoff, our bikiyim, our running, gunas, chasod, nusam, atoya, reminds us and gives us opportunity to relive the mambat asinai, the kabbalas atoya, which atoya warns us not to forget. And then we'll realize that taka nosoi, we are levav nasir eschem olikim, we're being elevated, we're being exalted, we're in a new car, we've got more koiches that we've had, that we realize until now, to be able to take with us, and we're zoich as mitzah greis mitzah, we should be zoich to take with us the lechtig ashvois from the Yom Tov of a ganz yu, in a ganz leben, b'siat d'shmai. Thank you.